This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Pink Floyd featuring Roger Waters, who, according to himself, is far, far more important than both The Weeknd and Drake. Roger Waters was a little sore that the Globe and Mail newspaper reviewed The Weeknd show and not his show.
Now, I do agree he's more important, but if you have to say it yourself, it's not a good look.
Takes you down a couple on the important meter, you feel, Jim?
Yeah. Especially when you're getting older. And, you know, Drake, I would say, is more relevant right now based on just pop culture. But who made a bigger impact on music? Probably Pink Floyd than Drake.
Yeah. But, well, Drake and The Weeknd still have a big chunk of their careers to go. So who knows how important they'll be when they're in their 70s like Roger is.
I would love to see them still on stage. Drake still trying to be a stud.
Drake is he's facing some more controversy here. He's been flying his private jet from Toronto to Hamilton. And people are saying it is a big waste of fuel. It's a big waste of time. And it counteracts people's efforts to limit their carbon dioxide emissions. So one flight can undo the effort of hundreds of thousands of people. And you have to ask yourself, is the convenience of it really worth it?
Yeah, I mean, if I was Drake, I'd be doing the same thing. I would be using my private jet for anything. And there's a million private jets in the sky at any given time. So, I mean, is one other private jet really going to save the planet?
There's a Twitter account called Celeb Jets, tracks celebrity flights. And they've been noticing that Drake has been flying from Toronto to Hamilton. It would be tough if you had your own Boeing 767, which Drake does have. Paid close to $200 million for it. Be tough to leave it sitting on the tarmac and not take it out for a joyride every now and then.
Yeah, you gotta get your money's worth. And if I could, dude, if I could take a jet to Scarborough instead of driving, I would every time.
Yeah, you know what the traffic's like.
Yeah. As long as Drake isn't out here talking about the environment, being like, we gotta save the planet. I mean, it's not a good thing, but at least he's not a hypocrite.
Is he saying that stuff?
I haven't heard him, so. But if he starts,
he
then
can't.
I'll throw it in his
now,
face.
Now yeah. He can't.
Yeah.
Unless Drizzy Air starts taking some commuters. Every time he takes off in that jet, he has to grab like 10 people who...
Like a carpool lane.
He needs to start carpooling on his private jet.
Every little bit helps.
From Hamilton to Toronto, and then we'll forgive him.
This is the Taz and Jim Podcast.
If you listen to the show, you know Jim plays in a rec soccer league. He's on a team called Great Wall FC. He's the only non-Chinese Canadian on the team. And we took that as an opportunity to learn some Mandarin over the summer because his teammates, they're speaking Mandarin in the huddles. They're sending messages to the team, a lot of Mandarin. So Jim is picking some stuff up and passing the knowledge on to us. Jim, what are we learning about this? First of all, did you guys win yesterday?
No, we lost 3-2.
Sorry I brought it up.
I know. Man, it was a tough loss too. It was it's Sunday mornings at 9, so sometimes you won't have many subs. The opposite team showed up. They had like 8 guys, and there's 11 people on the field. So I was like, this is going to be an easy win. We're up 1-0. We ended up losing 3-2. At halftime, I gave the goalie, who was playing in jeans and had no goalie gloves. I was like, we're obviously going to win this game. So here's an extra pair of goalie gloves. That's I went over to the team and gave it to him. They ended up beating us. I never should have given the guy the goalie gloves.
Lesson learned.
I know. So nice guys finish last. So never help the opposite team. Never give them equipment.
Was he wearing like full length jeans or jean shorts?
I don't know if he's like, he probably wasn't regularly on the team. He's probably just like a friend of a friend. And he was like a tall guy. And they're like, we need somebody to go in net. Get your best jeans out. Oh, so that it was a tough loss. I'll tell you that. It was a real...
Sounds like it.
Yeah, it was a real character defeat. But we had fun after the game, as we always do. Okay, here we are. Great Wall FC. Tough loss. 3-2. We battled hard. It didn't go our way. I'm with Fu Xiang here. Fu, you got a lot of energy out there. What do you eat before a game? What's your strategy?
Oh, actually, today we have a story. I saved the lemonade from last night, and I had a pretty bad diarrhea at a washroom right next to the pitch.
Okay, so don't have lemonade before
don't
the game.
Don't have lemonade. I don't know what you eat, but like I don't know what to eat, but like definitely don't drink lemonade before the game.
Okay. You know what I like to drink after a game? A nice cold beer. So how do you say, let's get a beer, let's go for a beer, I want a beer in Mandarin?
Yeah. It's 我要喝啤酒.
我要喝啤酒.
Wait, let's make it easy. Just say drink beer. 喝啤酒.
喝啤酒.
Whoa, your pronunciation is perfect.
喝啤酒.
喝啤酒.
Yeah, let's
oh, 喝啤酒.
Not lemonade.
Not lemonade. Yeah.
Poor Fu.
Fu out of poo. But yeah, that's why you don't eat lemons before a soccer game. You eat orange slices. So, you know, different type of citrus. Avoid the lemons. Stick to the oranges.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Mother Earth performed Friday night with Sloan in Lucan, Ontario at Lucan Bidolf Summerfest. That was a fun time. Jim and I went out there with a couple of other guys, and the sunshine, the sun setting over the field there behind us.
Yeah, it was like orange and pink. It was a beautiful view.
It was great.
And because we were in a baseball diamond, which was just a fun novelty.
Something special about drinking on a baseball diamond, especially, and this is going to make any big city folks jealous. $5 beers, $5 coolers at the Lions Club beer tent.
Hard to believe.
Right. You go to see a show and you're getting a beer for less than $10. You're usually pretty excited. But $5? Incredible deal for the people of Lucan. You were chatting it up with a couple folks. Any shout-outs you want to give anyone, Jim?
Oh, boy. Can't remember any of their names. No, thanks for putting me on the spot. No, I saw Billy Hawking from Mitchell, who was there. Good to see you, Billy. Who else did I see? I think that was about it. Met some people from Turkey Point and Ridgetown. Like, people came from all over to go to this show.
Yeah. Want to say hi to Stan. He didn't need to go far. He lived two blocks away from the Ball Diamond where they had the concert. Stan said he grew up listening to our show. He's a big fan of Taz and Jim. And I actually gave him a shout out when we were introducing Sloan.
Oh, yeah.
But he had disappeared. And then I made the joke. I said, I guess he's in one of the porta potties right now having a crunch. And sure enough, we see one of the doors of the porta potties fly open and stands in there. He's like, yeah,
waving his arms. That's me.
Okay, close the door, stand, finish up. We'll chat later. We did create a bit of a controversy out there in Lucan, though.
We did.
I'm Mother Earth and Sloan performing. People really wanted to review the concert with a hammered concert review. Now, when we said we weren't planning on doing any, we actually had trouble getting out of there. So, begrudgingly, we present this.
It's time for another
Hammered Concert Review.
Okay, Sloan is still on stage. I'm Mother Earth and Sloan and Lucan Bidolf at Summerfest. We've got a gentleman here. What's your name? My name's Mitch. Mitch, you're a little upset with us. What's going on?
I'm not happy about it. You know, I think that we could have had I'm Mother Earth on after. They're putting everybody to bed right now. The bull. I shouldn't have sworn.
You're not a Sloan fan.
No.
Okay. But you're upset with Jim and I. Why?
Because you're not doing interviews tonight.
No hammered concert reviews.
And you know what? I feel like you get way better results out of the people in Lucan than the people, you know? Everybody else you've done interviews with? Anybody else?
Like, they know how to drink in Lucan better
than
other
places.
That's
what I'm saying, right? You listen to Mitch and the boys. That's what it's all about, drinking in Lucan, right?
You weren't even going to drink tonight until you found out Taz and Jim were coming.
And then I found out I was going to get my 15 minutes of fame. And then, You know what happened was, I was told I wasn't going to get it. Broke my heart.
Hammer Concert Review.
There you go, Mitch. You got it.
This is the Taz and Jim Podcast.
Jim, you went and saw a movie on the weekend. I'm a little disappointed to hear this because the reviews were fantastic, but you're saying that Jordan Peele's Nope didn't blow you away.
The reviews weren't fantastic. They were around 70% from the audience, which is the only thing I judge now. 70% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It was around the same audience and critics, no, which is always a good sign.
It was 81 from the critics, 71 from the audience, and I'm siding with the audience here. I give it a 6.5. I think the problem is, I thought Get Out was amazing.
Yeah.
And the plot, it wrapped up nicely at the end. It made total sense. It was a really well-directed, easy-to-follow, good thriller movie. The follow-up by Jordan Peele, Us, had a lot of potential. It was great, too. The concept was interesting. But by the time you got, halfway through it, you start realizing the plot doesn't really make sense. And then you get to the end of the movie, and you're like, I liked some of it, but that was kind of convoluted, and what was that doing there? It's the same way I felt about this new movie, Nope. It was like there was some really great scenes in it, but all added together, it kind of didn't really make sense as
so
a total
in the
package.
Moment, you're like, wow, this is great. And then when you think about it afterwards, you're like, hold on a second.
Yeah. Like, it was good. It was so well directed. The cinematography was fantastic. But, you know, I think the problem is now it's being advertised as from the mind of Jordan Peele. It's like he's lost in his own brain a little bit, like trying to be a too, I don't know, trying to trick people or, you know, I forget what the word is, but think it's going this
Shyamalan.
Way and then it goes this way.
The word trying is to Shyamalan. Yes.
It's but I'd say Shyamalan was more consistent.
Shyamalan kind of lost it too. M. Night Shyamalan, Sixth Sense blew everyone's minds.
Yeah, yeah. And then, Unbreakable, great.
Unbreakable was good.
I thought it was great. And I even liked The Village.
What about Signs?
Signs was okay. The Signs reminded me of Nope, honestly. It was like there were some good scenes in Signs that kind of scary, but then all together you're like, I don't know if I really liked it.
Why would the aliens come to a planet that is made up mostly of water if water kills them?
That's like you moving to a tomato planet.
It's like me moving to Leamington.
When you're allergic to tomatoes. Yes. But, it was good. I believe in Jordan Peele. I think he's a talented guy. It's just somebody needs to, rein in the plots a little bit or edit it down or something. I don't know. You may enjoy it, but for me, I give it a 6.5.
Well, this could be better because sometimes you get too much hype and you need someone to bring the bar back down, and then you go see it. You're like, oh, Jim said it wasn't that great.
True.
I thought it was awesome.
More power to you if you do. But I think, if he doesn't nail the next one,
he's got one more chance.
He's got one more chance with me.
This is the Taz and Jim Podcast.
I want to give you a little warning here, bit of a sensitive subject we're about to discuss. You got the youngsters in the car. You may want to turn it down or get ready to explain this to them. Masturbation in outer space.
Whoa, okay.
Sorry. Masturbation in space! You may have seen headlines over the weekend saying that NASA scientists don't recommend men pleasure themselves in outer space because it could cause problems for female astronauts.
Hmm?
Well, you've heard the old excuse, the hot tub excuse. It's like, oh, honey, I don't know how I got pregnant. I did go in the hot tub. Who knows what was in there? There's an article I'm looking at here. It says, NASA scientist says that if men pleasure themselves in space, then it could be risky for female astronauts because just one session by a man could impregnate up to 3 female astronauts.
Hold up.
Because it gets everywhere.
No. So you're not using a tube sock, a towel, it's just let it fly free, and like Homer Simpson when he opens the bag of chips on the space station.
Yeah.
That's your DNA flying everywhere.
That is what this article says. Now, here is the truth of the matter. This was misinterpreted from Conan O'Brien's podcast. So Conan does a podcast. He has guests on, sometimes celebrities, sometimes regular people, listeners. He'll have them on if they have interesting jobs. And he had this this NASA scientist on the podcast. And let me play the clip here.
Does porn work in zero gravity?
Does it?
Wouldn't there be some
like
problems?
Never before.
Were someone to be watching space porn up on the space station, what are the, how does that work?
Three female astronauts can be impregnated by the same man on the same session.
Smith, why did you take us down this road?
Smith,
I blame you.
I fully blame Sona.
They were joking.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a joke.
But was the NASA guy joking?
The NASA guy was joking.
Okay, okay.
It was a joke. So if you are listening to this this show on the International Space Station, do your thing.
Are you brave enough to let me see your peacock?
Ooh, look who's back from a little R&R up at the cottage. It's Devin Peacock, our sports guy. Hey, Dev.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Did you watch the Blue Jays game on Friday night? What was the final score? 28-5 over the Boston Red Sox.
28-5. I was hoping they were going to get to 30 or even 31 and set the modern day record. 30 is the record. So they came close. They didn't quite get it done. I was a little disappointed in the Blue Jays on Friday. I thought they were better than that.
It is a franchise record though, right?
It is a franchise record. I mean, they could do nothing wrong. Hitting an inside the park grand slam to start a series is a fantastic way to start a series. I said it on Twitter the last time the Blue Jays did that. They've done that before. They've done it in Boston before. Junior Felix, June 2nd, 1989.
Any word on why Boston was playing so poorly? We thought for sure they had a night out before. They didn't get any sleep because they were just playing like idiots.
They were playing terrible. I mean, Alex Cora was saying after they lost again yesterday that their brand of baseball was playing awful. So, I mean, everything has just gone bad for the Red Sox this year. This was Hall of Fame induction weekend, so David Ortiz went into the Hall of Fame. That was the highlight of the weekend if you're a Red Sox fan. Red Sox fans have been checked out on this team, and there's a lot of questions about ownership right now, kind of focused maybe on the end. NBA, not Major League Baseball, because they want a team in Vegas with LeBron James and Rafael Devers, some other big names on the Red Sox might leave the team. And so it seems as though ownership has taken their eye off the ball and the product on the field has suffered as a result.
28-5, an insane run differential. Should there be some sort of mercy rule in Major League Baseball, whether it's written or unwritten?
I coach kids baseball. We do have a real mercy rule, but that's the only place there should be a mercy rule. So in our baseball, if you get up to 15 runs at a certain point, then the game is called. For Major League Baseball, the run differential does matter. And so you need to keep going because that's one of the tiebreakers if it gets down to that at the end of the season. So it sucks if you're the team that's losing 28-5, but the answer is don't lose 28-5. I mean,
I guess, imagine you paid $150 for some great tickets to the ball game, and then they call it after five innings because of the mercy rule.
Depending on which team you're cheering for, it might be sweet relief, though.
Well, there was one guy I saw on Friday still proposed to his girlfriend on Friday, and she said yes. So, I mean, you got to make the most of the situation. So,
that marriage is
doomed. In Boston scored.
They were Red Sox fans, I'm assuming, right?
They were Red Sox fans, yes.
Oh, boy. That's one ring that will be given out in Boston this year. Thanks, Dev.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
Rage Against the Machine have been out spreading their heavy rock across North America with some stops in the Taz and Jim listening area. Last week on Tuesday, Hamilton, First Ontario Center. Jim was at the show. You said it was one of the best concerts you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Crowd was incredible. The Hamilton rock and roll fans, they know how to do it up.
100%, 100%. Everybody that's seen the show that I've talked to said it's at least in their top 10 greatest shows of all time.
And we were speculating, would the crowd in Toronto live up to Hamilton's hype? Would they be able to rock as hard as the Hammer? Well, Saturday night show, they did Thursday and Saturday. Saturday night show at Scotiabank Arena, went a little sideways. What exactly went down?
It was the last song, Killing in the Name. That's the what they've ended every show on the tour with so far.
Gets them going pretty good, that one.
Guy in a red sweater hops up over the barricade side stage, to the stage right, I guess you would say. He runs on stage. He runs on the staircase behind Tom Morello, goes out to the front to try to like raise his arms in victory. A big old security guard comes from behind, shoulder hits the guy like a football hit off the stage. But as he follows through with the hit, he also hits Tom Morello, and Tom Morello falls just barely off the stage. Like his knee hits this end of the stage, and he slowly falls off onto some speakers down there, and this is what it sounded like. So now security's reaching down, they're pulling Tom back on stage. Tom Morello stands back up. And then I believe they restarted the song and gave him one more.
Did you notice that Tom Morello got hit basically right at the,
I guess so, yeah, maybe. The timing was perfect. The wind was knocked out of him. The guy, the fan in the red sweater must have got the wind knocked out of him, because he got pushed off, and then he kind of landed on a barricade, and then he tried to hop back into the mosh pit to try to escape, and the security, I think, grabbed him and kept him.
Security guards are not taking any guff nowadays when it comes to jumping on stage. It's increasingly frowned upon.
It always has been, but yeah, now especially.
There's linebackers waiting for you. Just
some of them a little too keen, because that's how Tom got. But thank God he landed on some equipment and not the full 5-foot drop or 6-foot drop. Because Zach already broke his leg just jumping off an amp.
The whole band's gonna be lying at the front of the stage by the end of this tour.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
And there's another big rock and roll group that will be calling Las Vegas home for a while. U2. Ireland is going to be invading Sin City in 2023. U2 taking up a multi-day residency in Las Vegas next year. Seems to be the way to go as your band's getting up there in years.
Stop carting around that massive stage. Remember they did the 360-degree tour, and they had the most incredible big setup ever?
Yeah.
Enough with the trucks and the roadies. Do it in one spot and get everybody to fly to you.
And what a spot. This is a $1.8 billion arena that's opening up in Vegas. The Madison Square Garden Sphere at the Venetian.
That's a confusing name for a place in Vegas.
Hold on.
And not New York.
Sphere, square. Is it a square or a sphere? Madison Square Garden Sphere at the Venetian will be the latest state-of-the-art mega venue to grace Las Vegas. It's been described as the next generation of live entertainment, offering fans a multi-sensory experience of sound and light inside the largest spherical structure ever created.
Okay, so I'm picturing Ontario Place, but bigger, you know?
Yeah, and multi-sensory, is there a little hand that comes up and gives you a tickle during the show? Or?
I hope not. Let's stick to sound and lights for now.
Sound, light, smell. What else we got? Touch?
Is there some vibration? I don't know.
Seeing dead people? Don't forget about the sixth sense. So they'd been looking for a big mega group, and there'd been rumors about who it was that was going to be the first to play at the Madison Square Garden Sphere at the Venetian. Rolling Stones had been mentioned. And I guess, when you're thinking of bands in that league, U2 would be up there as well. So the band has not commented on exactly what the show will be. But if you're a U2 fan, next year, 2023, U2 performing in Las Vegas.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back, massive.
drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman. They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.